The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
Dubai, good afternoon. Welcome to Man in Line on Manx Radio. We're open line through till 1. Text, email, call and WhatsApp to tell the Isle of Man what's on your mind today. Call 66 13 68. Text 166 177. WhatsApp, same number. Email studio at manxradio.com. Any thoughts on TT 2024? Had a few messages in, which I'll get to you later. But if you've got any thoughts on it, could be the parking, could be the price of hospitality, standard of behaviour. Anyway, it's a great event and all went terribly well as far as the radio was concerned. And we got a lovely message in from Liz, who just said, I think Radio TT and the entire broadcasting team were amazing, plus the added bonuses of Lee Johnson. I was proud of them all, so professional. It's time for the Isle of Man to stop being negative about everything and recognise the great job that the steam packet did, the buses, the airport, catering people, and what they've done over the last 2 weeks. Absolutely world class, says Liz. Thank you for that, Liz, on 194. Maybe you have a point to make regarding TT, then by all means do get in touch.
Good afternoon. I am disabled and also have chronic back pain. My granddaughter informed me last year that she was getting married this year in June, and I booked flights to Heathrow in January on Logan Air. My situation has deteriorated since then, and I had to cancel the flights, and I got my doctor to send a letter to Logan Air saying I could not do these flights. They have refused to refund me, saying they want another doctor's letter to say that I will never fly again. This is absolutely ridiculous. Thank you.
Do you have any sort of similar experience with problems cancelling with Logan Air? Any thoughts on this? Or if there's any way you can help that gentleman? It's Frank, by the way. If you can help, by all means, do get in touch and tell us the right levers to pull. Howard's with us first today. Hi, Howard.
Hello, Andy. Just a congratulations to the stewards, marshals, etc. But one loud congratulations must go to Gary Thompson. In the last fortnight, he's had some tough decisions to make, weather-wise, racing-wise, and everything seemed to hold around the aspect of safety. And as I've just said to Howard, everybody that came over has gone back. We've had a few unfortunate accidents, etc., but that was largely the public trying to emulate their heroes. But there were some brave decisions made there by Gary, and a lot of people might not agree with it, but safety is very, very high in the line of thought.
Well, and, I mean, nowadays, obviously, things like health and safety loom a lot larger than they used to. And I think Gary Thompson's position is, it's invidious, really, because he's damned if he does and damned if he doesn't. So,
yeah, well, this is it. This is why I've come on now to say a thank you to him for not going down the road of the silly people and saying, yes, race, race, race. And we've had that, and we had it many years ago, and the unfortunate passing at that time of Dave Jeffries. And that was bad weather, and other ones where they said race, and they were going round there, and they were racing in deluge. And today's speeds, and I was watching on the television, I've got it all recorded here, 200-odd mile an hour. This aircraft don't use that speed to take off, and these guys are tearing around the public roads. So all power to them, and a congratulations to Gary Thompson. He's made some good decisions. They were tough ones, He's made some good decisions and some very sensible ones. I only hope, and this is not a criticism of it, the DOI will follow the same brave decisions and do something about that water on Glen Helen, just when you're coming out of Glen Helen. That must be, they've just resurfaced that, and it must have disturbed a spring or something, because it looked on the television like the water was coming down the hill under the tarmac, then seeping out between the joint of the new tarmac and the old tarmac. And that is in a very, very dangerous place. And it got gradually worse as the week went on. But let's hope they're brave enough, or there's somebody there brave enough to say, right, we're going to do something about it, because let's not wait until something happens.
Okay. All right. We appreciate that, Howard. Thanks for calling today.
Take care. Bye now.
All right. 12 minutes past 12. Just an observation, says WhatsApper 557. I didn't hear any race TT commentary or safety warnings to the public in French or German, or did I miss any of that, says Big John. And Wilf's on now. Hi, Wilf.
Hi. I agree with everything that Howard has just said. He's a wonderful chap. Anyway, it's not nothing to do with the races. It's just it's sort of a complaint I've got. I've just been in the spa shop in Ramsey, and I went in to get a phone card. So I got a 20 quid card, come outside, got my car, scraped the number off with me on the top, as you do, with me thumbnail, and it was unreadable. Couldn't make the numbers out properly. So I thought, something wrong with this lot. So I took it back in. They got the manager out. Not a very nice person. The manager said, we can't do anything about that. That's your fault. You should have scraped it off with a coin. I said, I used my fingernail. I said, you're saying that my fingernail is harder than the coin then? Well, possibly. So she said, you'll have to take your card up to Telecom and Douglas.
Oh, crikey.
And let them sort it out. Not a very good situation at all.
So your fingernail stronger than a coin, Wilf?
Well, that's what she reckoned. Anyway, I went a couple of doors down, and a friend of mine in the antique shop there, I said, have you got a magnifying glass? So we looked at it. He sorted the number out, and no, we tried it again. It's no good. So he says, well, I'm going to Douglas tomorrow, he says. I'll take the card with me and see what I can do for you. So that's 20 quid thrown away.
Well, I'm sure that
you can get something done with it.
Well, I'm sure they'll reimburse it to you, but that's a lesson for everybody now. If they say use a coin, you've got to use it. You're just too much of a man, Wilf. That's what it is.
Well, I know that. I know that.
Right.
I'll agree with that.
Right.
Well, let's say I was.
Thanks for calling, Wilf.
Okay.
Cheers now. Julian's on there. Hi, Julian.
Hi, Andy. Yes, Wilf is definitely a good man. And also Howard. They're very strong-willed. I think it's great. I've noticed something in recent planning applications that have caused some public concern. The first one was a cliffside development of a three-storey home on the Shore Road underway at Port St Mary, which was approved by planning despite a raft of objections from neighbours, village commissioners and constituency MHKs, including Michelle Hayward, who said she had serious concerns about the stability of the site. Next is the recommendation for approval of the Solby Riverside scheme at Pool Dewey, which I'm sure Wilf and also Lamara Crane had a lot to say about that. And finally, an application for a pair of wind turbines in Port Erin, which I understand has just been refused by the planning committee. What do you think the common denominator in these three contentious planning recommendations is, Andy?
What do you think it is?
Well, the common denominator that I can see is that the planning officer in all three is Hamish Laird. Interestingly, I can't see any evidence of Mr. Laird having done anything on the island prior to this year, so I can only assume he's a new addition to the island. I also noticed there is a Hamish Laird Planning Limited in Taunton. So I'm just wondering, is this another example of an arm's length approach, but now in the planning office? And it also makes me wonder if Mr. Laird is going to be involved in the Cairvy wind turbine development at Eriestain, which is already very contentious.
So when you reckon he's a recent addition?
Well, there's no evidence of anything on any bit of paper that you can see that, I mean, I stand to be corrected on this one, but it seems that he seems to have made this mysterious appearance. And I don't know, I mean, you'll know this better than me, Andy. I thought that planning officers tended to be regional, but Paul Dewey's a long way from Port Erin and Port St Mary, so I'm just wondering how this chap is able to do at both ends of the island, which, unless I'm wrong, but I always assumed that there was a regional element to planning officers.
So has the development, has that cliffside development of Port St Mary been given the final go-ahead?
I haven't looked at the detail on that, but there was, I mean, you know, the commissioners, MHKs, all the neighbours were all up in arms about it because, you know, you quite often see bits of rock and stuff falling off the side there.
Well, that's been going on for years. And, of course, you know, if you get the right wind, the tide can flash right round the bay there.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, you remember the underway got knocked down years ago and the whole thing had to be rebuilt. But, yeah, anyway, that was one point. The other one is, I'd just like to comment on a couple of points in Daphne Kane's recent publication of the Climate Change Transformation Programme Annual Progress Report. She states in it that 76% of the Isle of Man population think climate change is an important issue. So, I mean, how many people and where were sampled to get this 76% figure? I mean, was it 100 people or 500 or 1,000? And even if it was 1,000, that would still be, what, a 70th of the adult population. So I'm not quite sure what this 76% of the Isle of Man thing is. She also mentions, I'll just stick to one particular bit here, wildfires on the islands of Sardinia and Rhodes appear to be clear examples of human-induced climate change. I'd just like to refer to a news report from Italy's main news service, RAI, which is their equivalent of the BBC. And the Bishop of Nuoro and Lanusse on Sardinia, which is the area of the wildfires, by Monsignor Antonio Mura, who was the bishop there, and he said, and I quote, "Those responsible for the fires that have hit Sardinia are people who don't want the good of Sardinia and don't even think about the good of their children. There can only be words of blame on what appears to be a strategy rather than a coincidence. Multiple fires starting in separate areas at exactly the same time don't happen in nature." And then meanwhile, Daphne's other point in the island of Rhodes in Greece, local police have arrested a man from the village of Apollo for arson and starting the wildfires. The chief of Rhodes Fire Department issued a statement which said flames engulfing the Greek island of Rhodes were set by human hands. One man caused 16,000 people to be evacuated by land and a further 3,000 by sea from a dozen villages and several hotels. And then when you look at the Greek big fires that we read about a while ago, the BBC headline, "Greece wildfires, 79 people arrested for arson." Greece's civil protection minister, Vasilis Kikilias, said there had been multiple attempts by arsonists to start new fires on Mount Parnitha near Athens, calling them arsonist scum. Multiple arsonists have also been arrested on the island of Corfu. And interestingly, the Voice of America news site reports in a headline, "Arsonists behind more than half of Italy's wildfires, officials say, with 60% of arson fires having links to mafia ties in a bid to force farmers to sell their land to make way for developments and solar farms."
So do you think, do you think this is, what inference do you draw that these are just bad lads doing this? These are just people having their particular kind of nefarious fun, or do you think there's anything else behind it?
Well, there's a news report just very recently, actually. As you know, Chile is in the southern hemisphere, so, you know, our June is their winter time and vice versa. But back in February, in their summertime, the Chile press reported that two have been arrested in Valparaiso, Chile, for setting fires that converged, killing 137 people, Both of the arsonists worked at Chile's National Forest Corporation, and there is evidence of financial motivation, which is an interesting news report, and that's quite recent.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll keep an eye on that. Thanks for calling today, Julian.
Thanks, Andy.
Good to hear from you. And just a quick note, by the way, if you're interested in the state of meat on the Isle of Man, Lee Mayers, the butcher's, put a notice on Facebook recently just to say that he's tried his best to push and supply the very best Manx meats. But since Christmas, several weeks of Isle of Man meats have let butchers down, with stuff missing on a regular basis. Last week, said Lee, I put an order in to be delivered today and was told by the sales manager, Stan, that the order will be fine for Monday. Got a phone call at 11 o'clock to be told I have no pork trim coming, so can't make sausages on Wednesday. No lambs till later in the week. Most of the order is missing. I can't keep turning customers away, which has pushed me into bringing meat from across. You can see Lee Mayer's full post on Facebook. Just, I'm not the only butcher having this problem, says Lee. It is all of us. The meat plant I use across is the one I used to use, and it's very well renowned for quality produce, great quality control on all produce. If things change, I'd go back to buying Manx produce, but I can't see anything changing as this has been going on for 6 months now. And a note in from Davey just said, I heard with interest the steam packet figures for TT passengers, 38,000. Is that just passengers coming to the Isle of Man or returns as well? Because if it's only coming to the Isle of Man, where did they all stay? Oh, I see. Is that 19,000 each way, or is that 38,000 trips or 19,000 return trips? Thank you, Davey. Just to congratulate, says Judy and Colby, all the TT commentary team on Radio TT for a fantastic job this year. I listened to many of the races and was impressed by the coverage, all the interviews as well. Chris Kinley in particular. He hasn't slept for a fortnight. The insight also from Lee and Tom as rider and sidecar passenger respectively was a great addition. Yeah, Tom Birchall was great, wasn't he? And made the whole thing even more enjoyable, says Judy in Colby. Well, as I mentioned, the TT team have gone into a dark room and will be recovering and emerging. In fact, I think Chris Kinley's on tonight, so be very gentle with him at 6:30. Here's Juan now. Hi, Juan.
How was your weekend, Andy?
It was, I was on yesterday, actually, standing in for Mike Buttle doing the 70s show. So it never stops.
It never stops. It never stops. You're in high demand. This is the thing, you see. You're the voice of ShopRite as well now.
Are you trying to say I'm wanted?
We're all wanted in some way or form. It just all depends on who by. I'm glad you brought the Lee Mayers thing up. I was gonna talk about that tomorrow. It's interesting that he's mentioned 6 months and nothing's happened. You know, you're bringing new people to sort out the problems and nothing's happened. And it's pretty dire, really, for a farming island that we're having these issues, and the question's got to be asked why, hasn't it? But I'll talk about that more. I've got a few things more to say about that, but I'll do that tomorrow. And I was up the grandstand having a look around on Saturday, up at the paddocks and around the whole area, and I was quite impressed with the setup there. I think they've done a good job there. I think there's a lot of work gone in. The car parking is a disaster, I think. They still haven't got that right. The fan zone looked good and well supported. And it looked to be about 50% local traders doing the food. And, you know, there seem to be five or six wagons there with English plates on. I would assume that they're from the UK.
Phenomenal pitch prices, though, Juan.
Absolutely, Andy. I always have been. And they've got more. Still looking for the £25 burger. Which one of our phone people said about the £25 burger?
That was a message we got in. I think that was a burger plus chips.
Was
£25.
Right. If I remember right, it was Bonzo that talked about the £25 burger. But, you know, have to be careful about false information on here. We are the nation station. But I struggled to find the £25 burger. Prices were, yeah, I mean, if you go to any pop concert anywhere away, you're paying fancy prices for
stuff. Oh, crikey. I know yesterday, I mean, I wasn't there, but Taylor Swift at Murrayfield in Edinburgh, one of those Taylor Swift cowboy hats, £60. A cowboy hat.
And did you want one, Andy? Was that what you wanted?
Well, I wouldn't say no.
And I think the racing coverage as well. I take it now that because it's so commercial with the TT that they're now doing the racing at weekends to suit the TV audience. Would I be right in saying that?
I don't really know. I mean, I know it's ITV by for one of their channels, don't they? And it goes out on there, and it's taken all around the world. But I don't really know why they've scheduled what they were saying that they were spacing stuff out so that more people could come for short breaks. And I know for a fact, I mean, on Saturday, I know somebody was on the flight from Birmingham on Saturday, and there were a group of six Brummie lads coming over purely for one day. They were just coming over to see the senior.
Yeah, and again, back to the numbers of 38,000 and stuff, it's people are over for shorter periods. So you're probably still getting the longevity of stay overall, but the people are here for shorter periods, maybe 1 or 2 days rather than a full week. But I'm looking at the TT app, and obviously they're charging for that. And people, like we have it in boxing and they have it in football, you know, the TV demands that they're on live when people are off work. So I'm just wondering whether that's the reason why they're doing more weekend racing.
Could be. No, I never thought of that for the senior. And certainly that thing, I'm trying to remember, how much is the TT permission? Is it £25 for the fortnight?
I am not sure. I'll come back to you on that. I'm not sure of that. And just in other business, in other news, as Head of News would say, I believe the planning permission has run out for the seawall in Douglas.
Oh, for the famous one by the War Memorial, just up from the War Memorial.
Yeah, well, that hasn't met the standards. That was the test piece. It hasn't met the standards, I believe. But the planning permission for doing it has run out. So I believe maybe Head of News can chase that up after a rest from TT. And I believe also in other news, the rise and fall on the passenger part of the link span at Liverpool is at the wrong setting, and that's having to be adjusted.
Nobody quite knows at the moment. We know that the steam packet haven't signed the lease, but nobody really knows. I don't know. Apparently Liverpool Council or somebody's going to be providing buses to take people from the sea terminal into town, because it's a fair old walk if you're trying to walk it, and particularly if there's any sort of weather. But I mean, if you're getting 300 people off the sea cat at any one time, that's four buses.
Yes, it is. I'm just wondering how much it's been fought out, but I'm sure time's going to tell.
We'll find out. All right, thanks, Stuart.
Take care, Andy. Bye now.
Okay, Paul said it's really, really disappointed. I'm disappointed in Joni Farragher saying that without high taxes, Manx people won't get high-class services. She's wrong. It's the misuse of public funds that are stopping us from having first-class services. She should know better, having been in Treasury. From Paul on 715, Joni Farragher was on Perspective yesterday, talking about the Manx Labour Party and the functions of the Manx Labour Party with Phil Gorm. The cost of Queen Camilla visiting Douglas, because Douglas wanted to be a city. Why aren't the council picking up the policing bill? Why do taxpayers have to pay for Douglas' aspirations, says Andy. And Roger's on now. Hi, Roger.
Hi, Andy. Good afternoon. Just a question, please. Either you may know the answer, or hopefully somebody will be able to phone in and give me an answer. It's... a few days ago, I had a letter from Manx Utilities, and it's in relation to smart meter. The way it reads is, they're pleased to confirm my scheduled installation, which I've never asked for, but nevertheless, this is what I've got. But the way it reads is, yes, I'm a lucky dude, and it's going to be done. But it appears that I haven't got a choice in the matter. It's compulsory. And I don't want one. I've never asked for one. I'm not in rented property. I'm not in debt with them. I just don't want it, but I'm not sure if I've got a choice in it.
Have you spoken to them yet?
No, because there is a contact number with Manx Utilities, but I'm not sure. I don't feel confident that the answer they give me maybe it's going to be worded maybe that everybody, all the island, the houses on the island are going to have it. You know, I haven't got a choice.
I think
there was
mention, Roger, of the fact that if people didn't have and I stand to be corrected there, but if you didn't have a smart meter, you would have to pay for somebody to come and read your meter, because basically they want smart meters so they don't have to employ meter readers. They're saving money.
Yeah, well, the answer to that, they wouldn't, because as is the option now, I can email in or I can phone in.
Sure.
They don't have to. They probably send me estimates more times than they send me actual readings.
Yeah, but they may say that perhaps once a year it just needs to be verified to make sure you're not running 22 bar fires.
Okay, but if I'm not or am, what's the problem with that? If I was, I'd be paying for it.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, but as I say, I think it's all to do with the fact they want to cut out the meter readers, so they can save money on meter readers by installing smart meters. And if you only send in your readings, they will presumably have to pitch up once every year just to verify that the meter is where they think it is. I stand to be corrected. I think it was about £45 for a meter reader.
Per house, well, I'm in the wrong job. I don't go along with that. But when you touched on they're looking at what, it's a big brother thing to me. If they're looking at how much I'm using, what I'm using. Is there a connection here, maybe this in the future with the electric cars and charging and transferring the energy to the houses that are...
I don't doubt that somewhere there's some brain box who's doing some work on this and would... that's the way, big government likes to control things. They'll dress it up all sorts of ways, but really it is all about control. They do want to know what's going on. They'll say it's for your safety and well-being, but you can draw your own conclusions.
Well, exactly. And I would imagine the installation of these smart meters is a lot more than once a year, £45, if that's what they're saying it costs for a meter man to come round. And I just don't go along with it. If I was to send in a continuous number of estimates, I'm not sure that they would know what my from my estimate for that one year, how if it was drastically lower than the year before, then they would really not have reason for concern, or they would have reason for concern unless it was much lower, wouldn't it? I just sort of don't go along with that.
I think it's the modern view on customer service, Roger.
Yeah. It then goes on to say about, of course, I can download their app, assuming I've got a smartphone, assuming I know how to use it, and to monitor my bills. Well, I can do that anyway. I just do the reading, I know if I'm up or down. But anyway, if anybody knows, if it's compulsory, well, I'll have to go along with it. I've got a scheduled installation date towards the end of the month, and I can defer it, but if it's inevitable, then I'll have to go with the flow, so to speak.
All right. Thanks, Roger.
Thanks for your help.
Good to hear, mate. So can you tell Roger, can you help us out? Is it compulsory to have a smart meter? If you're on the list, is it you have to have it, or am I right from what I possibly remember in that you don't have to, but you will have to pay to have your meter read in the future? What about the Kurt Michael butcher who can get his meat delivered quicker from across than he can from our meat plant? Sounds unbelievable to me. He wants to use Manx orders, but orders are always delivered with bits missing. It's a shambles, says Jonesy. Lee Mayers has put that post on Facebook, seeing he said he's going to have to import meat because of failings at the meat plant. It's a disaster for our farmers, says Marie. TT coverage was good. The only thing I wish they'd change is that music. Which bit of music? Says Fran. It sounds like something from the Hammer House of Horror. I was expecting Christopher Lee to appear. No. If the steam packet company brought over 38,000 with the Manxman and Mananan, how many could they have brought over using the Ben? Why wasn't it used, and where is the Arrow? Says Andy. I'm Manx local. I've been riding and driving around the island over the past few weeks, and I've been noticing that the island's in a very bad state, as in massive weeds growing on the island's footpaths, also grass growing as it's not being cut by local authorities. We've just had 50,000 visitors to the Isle of Man for the TT. They must have been they must have thought the Isle of Man is going to the dogs, says Fred. Well, Fred, I don't know whether you've been to England or not recently, but it's very much the same there. and everybody will dress that up as Wilding. But certainly I notice at the bottom of Quarterbridge, just by Quarterbridge, the bottom of Glencrutchery Road, the normally trimmed hedgerows didn't look all that trimmed. And Jude in Colby again, thanks to the TT coverage, very good and enjoyed it. And a message also in to say, G said, but surely arsonists will find it easier to light wildfires in drier, hotter conditions, says G. TT Race Week was ace, the best ever. We went to Denmark. Tell the butcher to ring Julian. He'll be able to sort it out. I don't think so. I see there's a book. Jasmine said, I see there's a big push by climate change advocates as they know their narrative is coming to an end or 6 or 7 years. Are they making hay while the sun shines? Says Desmond. Well, when will the bridge at the grandstand be brought back? Says 679. I think it's disgusting in this day and age. There's no accessibility for the disabled to go and enjoy the atmosphere at the grandstand unless you have a car or you use the access road, they say, to save a tree. But no doubt it's all to do with the falling of the bridge landing in the corporate area, says that message. And let's go to, let me see here, it's Siobhan with us now. Hi, Siobhan.
Hello, Andy. Hiya. I'm phoning in about the assisted dying debate. I've been following it.
Yep.
And it's just a question, because I can see both sides of the argument, but it really worries me about the vulnerability of some people, you know, to have decisions made that they may not be fully able to make. And I wanted to ask about the Mental Capacity Act, whether it's in statute yet, because surely that would be a safeguard to have that in statute before we bring in assisted dying. It's been in statute since 2005, I think, in other places, and people use it, work to the principles of it, but I don't think it's on the statute in the Isle of Man yet.
So where do you stand on assisted dying?
I'm in favour of it on an individual level, but I really worry about the state being involved and making decisions for people who might have assumptions made about them that they want to die when in fact maybe they don't. That's the vulnerable people, I suppose, that would be protected by the Mental Capacity Act.
That's the nub of it, but and as you say, I mean, how on earth do you legislate for that? How on earth do you... I mean, who's going to make that decision?
Well, at the moment, it's used in principle, and medical staff do make that decision, and they work in people's best interests, and they attempt to assess people's capacity to make big decisions, you know, whether they can understand the information, retain it, balance it, communicate it. But it's not in statute yet, as far as I'm aware. And I just think that would be another protection for people, you know, that was formalised, you know, before people make a decision that isn't reversible. You know, that's the ultimate thing about the assisted dying, isn't it? It's the ultimate decision. So,
and it's not one you want to get wrong, Siobhan.
No, exactly. Yeah, exactly. But that was my question, really, about the Mental Capacity Act, because okay. I know that attempts have been made to put it on statute, but I didn't know if it was had been successful or not yet.
Appreciate that. We'll find out for you. Thanks, Siobhan.
Thank you. Good. Bye, Andy.
All right.
Bye.
Thanks a lot. 013 Ali says, regarding Max Utilities, we were advised that if you don't have a smart meter, you'll pay £42 to have your meter read, and you can't send a reading in. Diane's on now. Hi, Diane.
Indeed, it's the same thing. I've had a letter. I didn't want a smart meter, and I didn't because with the smart meter they can turn your electricity on and off, say if you're boiling the kettle too many times, because it's all linked to the Internet of Things, so they know exactly what you're using. But they told me, like the last person said, it was going to be £42, a quarter.
A quarter?
Yes, and if you... and if you didn't want it to... they were going to fit this thing on so it could communicate. You see, because this is all about collecting data, how much electricity you're using for this, that and the other.
Yeah.
The Internet of Things, where your fridge will talk to the kettle and everything else. So it's now, I don't know whether there's VAT on this, but that's the letter I had. So it's going to cost to have somebody come and read it. And if you have one of these things, which you have to have, if you're going to have, you know, this person coming out to read, this thing that doesn't communicate with them. And so it was going to cost £42 something every quarter. So
and they obviously think it's the future, Diane. They obviously think that the Internet of Things is good for us. Well, it's obviously good for them, but I mean, do you think it's good for us?
Well, you're giving them the right to turn your electricity off. If they have got this and it's giving you a reading and they can tell how many times you're boiling the kettle or at what time of the day you're using the washing machine, this is all about, it's nothing to do with the customers. It's them. It's this new agenda which is coming in from the WEF and the rest of them. I'm not paying it. They can cut my bloody electricity off.
Right. Oh, Diane, don't get your electricity cut off, for heaven's sake.
Well, I'm not paying it. So, and that's the same as if they put fluoride in the water. I will not be paying the water money either.
All right. Thanks for calling today, Diane.
Bye then.
Customer satisfaction and quality have been a priority at Milcreast's for over 60 years. We're proud to represent the great car manufacturers, Jaguar, Land Rover, Vauxhall, Mitsubishi, Subaru and Isuzu, and have taken time to build up the trust and respect of both car makers and drivers. 100% independent and Manx-owned for new and approved used cars, leasing, servicing, parts and superb customer service. Milcreast's. It's what's behind us that keeps us in front.
Hey, June. I wanted to tell you about the Green Living Grant. Well, new Spectrum windows and doors are so energy efficient, they qualify for the Green Living Grant, with funding available for up to 50% of the cost. I saved £5,725, but the application deadline closes at the end of June.
Don't delay. Contact Spectrum Windows today on 817777. T's and C's apply.
Summer, a time for blue skies and sunshine. With Skipton International, you can turn up the heat even more with some amazing interest rates. Guernsey's Bank Skipton International offers a range of savings accounts, from fixed term to notice and easy access, enabling your savings to shine brightly. So what are you waiting for? Make your summer great by switching to Skipton International today.
For details of all Skipton International savings products, call 01481 730 730 or visit skiptoninternational.com. Skipton International is licensed to take deposits by the GFSC and is a participant in the Guernsey Banking Deposit Compensation Scheme. See dcs.gg.
Ramsey Garden Centre opens 7 days a week for roses, shrubs, trees, perennials and an array of pond plants. Or if it's fire pits or solar lights, there's never been a better time to visit Ramsey Garden Centre.
The Manx Development Corporation has its supporters and critics, but what is it for and how was it formed? It aims to be a catalyst for the positive transformation of the island's urban landscape for the benefit of all Manx citizens, and has a vision to create an urban landscape which will be perceived as vibrant, safe, of high design quality and environmentally efficient. So how is that working? Well, Dane Harrop, Managing Director of the Manx Development Corporation, is keen to tell us on Agenda this evening at 6 p.m. on Manx Radio with me, Phil Gorn. A bold initiative to provide us with beautiful and inspiring places to live, or more taxpayers' millions down the drain.
The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
It's 12:45. Thanks for dropping by. Post TT, pre Southern 100, we'll call it, shall we? Oh, and today it's Monday, of course, which means we're delving into the Manx Radio 60th anniversary archive, back to 1972 after Man in Line today. Sir John Betjeman will be be on Manx Radio. Sir John Betjeman, in 1972, he visited the Isle of Man for the 50th anniversary of the Manx Museum, which started in 1922. Correct, it did. And the 50th anniversary. So Sir John Betjeman will be on talking of his admiration for the Isle of Man and his strong views on the motor car. With getting rid of meter readers, will it save enough money to buy more company 4x4s for the MUA management to use as a 24/7/365 as a contractual perk? Is that right, Fran? Is that true? Do you know that for a fact? You'd be shocked how many of them are used to do the weekly shop on a Saturday. The supermarket shops are laden with them. Now, Fran, you're not making that up, are you? Ian said, regarding smart meters, your last caller, I agree entirely with this point. I don't want a smart meter, but I've got one, and I have concerns over the whole business of replacing meters, to be honest. What about the poor meter readers who are now out of a job, says Ian? Well, you would hope it wouldn't make them redundant. They'd just be employed within Manx Utilities. And also, says 572, don't forget the meter person, man, woman, pays tax and spends money in the community. The standing charge is now, is it 71p per day? Let's hope the additional 2% NI health surcharge is put towards providing first-class services and isn't going to be wasted by MHKs, says G. They wouldn't waste it, would they? And also, yes, many people saying, yes, the meter readers pay tax and help to ease, this one would help to ease Joni Farragher's concerns as he spends his earnings in the community. How about inviting farmers who can't get their livestock butchered and other butchers who are having problems? Could get a programme on that, says Phil W. Thank you, Phil. We'll take a look at that. Well, the story of the meat plant goes on and on, doesn't it? Regarding Joni Farragher's comment, the tax returns would go a lot further if MHKs contributed to their pension pot. Thank you, says Kat. Well, those are the rules, Kat. It's called law of contract. I don't know, quite know how you'd go about varying that. Would you want to vary that? Oh, this coming Friday, by the way, it's the final constituency MHK. Glenn Faber and Peel MHKs, Kate Lord Brennan and Tim Crockall will be on Man in Line this Friday. If you live in the constituency of Glenn Faber and Peel, of course, it's spread out when they merge the constituencies. Everything. Silt, sewage. When will they stop building in Peel? Will they ever stop building in Peel? And, I mean, as you go north, of course, there's coastal erosion. So there are issues within certainly doctors, the availability of GPs. Any thoughts on this? What's happening to the Peel Old Town in relation to the Peel New Town, if you like, at the top? It's big and getting bigger. Anyway, you can talk to the MHKs this Friday. Tim and Kate will be on Man in Line at 12 noon. And next week, Laurie Hooper, MHK, is going to be on. The Health and Social Care Minister will be on a week on Friday talking about, well, yes, health and social care.
When the Man in Line's not on air, call Manx Radio to leave your opinion for broadcast on 682 631.
At Thrive Farms, we have a passion for growing and providing fresh local food for the Manx community. As a not-for-profit, community-run business, we need volunteers. There are many opportunities to learn how to grow, harvest and more. Exchange your time for food and community. See Facebook or visit thrivefarmsiom.com for details. Thrive Farms, our community, our soil, our legacy. This audio has been kindly sponsored by Miller Chaps of Ramsey.
Out and about this summer, EVF service stations have everything you need to make the most of it. Hot and cold food, chilled wine and beers, barbecue essentials and more. You can even pick up your lottery tickets at our stations across the island. Fill up, fuel up with Ellen Vannon Fuels. Visit us at evf.co.im. Stocks and offers may vary between locations.
The Ginger Hall has it all. Check out the new restaurant, now open at the Ginger Hall Hotel, where you'll find a fantastic range of food, from classic winter warmer bistro-style dishes to delicious Sunday specials and great celebration meals. Don't delay. Book now on 897-231. Or visit our Facebook page for all our opening times, pictures and full menus. You'll even find details on our live music and more. The Ginger Hall really does have it all.
The race is on to help local charity Arlo's Adventure, and you can help win it. It's the KPMG Promenade Relay, Friday 12th of July along Douglas Seafront, with 100% of entry fees and sponsorship going to Arlo's Adventure, helping Manx residents needing hospital treatment in the UK and supporting bereaved families through child or pregnancy loss. Get your relay team of 2, 3 or 4 people together to tackle the 10K course, or go it alone over 5K. Entries close 10th July. Visit kpmg.com/cds for details and registration. The KPMG Promenade Relay, supported by your nation station, Manx Radio.
The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
Thanks also to Eric, who said, I love that idea of the Internet of Kettles. That would be fantastic if you could get my tea ready in the morning. That would be good. You need a tea's made. That's what it is. Just an issue from the airport. They're experiencing a situation at the airport involving a light aircraft. It's got a burst tyre on landing as a result. Both runways are temporarily closed. Now they're working to resolve things as soon as possible. So stay updated by social media pages or go to the website. Well, it couldn't come at a worse day because it's absolutely chock-a-block today at the airport, just clearing the backlog of TT. The 1225 Manchester, I think, got out. But all sorts of stuff is going out this afternoon, departures and arrivals. So if you're supposed to be at the airport today, just be aware there's been a burst tyre on a plane. So be aware of that. At the moment, the 10 past one, Emerald to Dublin, and the 20 past one, EasyJet to Bristol, is currently delayed, presumably because of that particular situation there. Anyway, fingers crossed that'll get sorted out at the airport. Thanks also to Dennis, who said, could you thank officially, well, I'll do it unofficially. I'm not that official, Eric, and Dennis as well. Can you thank the people who were involved for the D-Day celebrations or the commemorations last week? Really enjoyed it. Thought it was very respectful, and the services and what have you, and the lighting of the beacon. So all the best. Thank you, Dennis. Thanks for that. And if you're involved in that, take that as an unofficial thank you for that. So, yes, do be aware of that at the airport. A burst tyre from a light aircraft is causing some issues. I walk past the airport most days, says Richard. Somebody with a Chelsea tractor was waiting outside the airport on his phone as I returned. Some 20 minutes later, on the return walk, he was still on the phone. I noticed a parking attendant look from outside the airport, watched him, and then walked back to the terminal. What's happening? Lots of people are still waiting and not being told to move on, says Tom. Well, did you use the airport during TT? How was it? Was it full? Were you being told to move on? And just a quick word about this coming Saturday. There are two political surgeries, Arbury Castle Town and Maloo. MHKs will be at Abbey Church Hall in Bridge Road, Ballasalla, from 10 to 11.30. Jason Morehouse and Tim Glover. That's a week late because of TT for this Saturday. And also on Saturday, Douglas North at the Main Assembly Hall at Williston School from 11.30 to 1pm. Meet David Ashford and John Wannenberg and some Douglas councillors as well. That's it. Stand by for John Betjeman. Thanks to Howie Kane on the phones today. Enjoy the rest of your Monday.
W-I-N-T.
60 years serving you as the nation station. This is Manx Radio.
Even now, 40 years after his death, Sir John Betjeman's voice to a certain generation is very recognisable. He came here to the island for the 50th anniversary of the Manx Museum. David Collister spoke with him. Sir John was quick to admit his love of the island and his dislike of motor cars.
It's the biggest holiday I know, as you're away from noisy traffic, the smell of petrol and diesel. The air is like wine. There aren't too many people. I wouldn't come in season, of course, but even then you can find the country. I have been here in season. And there's always country to be found here, and it goes at the right pace, nice and leisurely and slow. People are pleasant to one. There are no tall tower blocks and filthy, draughty avenues between them, like you have in practically every other large city in the world. And it's another country.
Well, of course, there is a danger with the ever-increasing population that all these evils that you talk about are possibly on the way to us. Can you see a time maybe when the Isle of Man will lose its natural beauty?
It could easily happen if speculative builders were allowed, say, to build over the nunnery, the grounds of the nunnery. Because they are, although they're private and all the nicer for being private, those trees and those meadows there and those bits of farm are to Douglas what Hyde Park and St. James's Park are to London. They're absolutely vital. And I think it would be a very forward-looking step to be a little less progressive. That is to say, it would be forward-looking to which happens here in the island, as has been done, keeping the railways. The greatest enemy of man at the moment is the motor car. Mm. And the railways are a natural, decent, a properly slow method of transport. They are not ugly in the landscape now. In fact, if the island became like Sark, free of motor transport, it would be the Mecca of Europe.
Part of island life for 60 years. This is your Manx Radio.
Approaching the Isle of Man. Elevate your aura. Elevate with gold. Step into the gold rush.